Turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's where we'll be at today. I'm going to try and not steal thunder from Carl, who is going to, he's teaching through 1 Corinthians in the Wednesday morning, or Wednesday evening Simple Supper Bible studies. And we had the installation service on Wednesday, and it was a great time. Thank you all for your love and support. And it got me really, really thinking. I thought, you know, I'm going to scrap the what I was planning to go through. And I thought, let's jump into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because it deals with something that was really heavy on my heart that evening. And so I have a little quotation from a scholar at Calvin College. And I never took any of his classes. His name is Jamie Smith, but he has a similar theological background to me and Carl. And he said something really poignant about scholarship, and it got me thinking about my role here. And he said this. He said, "Being a scholar means developing expertise in a particular field. But that certainly doesn't mean that we know everything. We just act like that. The fact is, there is wisdom in our congregations which we might never possess. Let me give you just one example. Well, I might have arcane knowledge of French philosophy." He's a philosopher, so he's really nerds out on some arcane knowledge is exactly right. "That certainly doesn't make me an expert father. In fact, in my congregation will be assembly line workers who've never attended college, but in fact have deep wells of wisdom about parenting. If I want to make myself available to teach my brothers and sisters, I also have to be teachable. I need to sincerely trust and believe that the Spirit has distributed gifts throughout the body, and that I'll be a student more than I'm a teacher." And, boy, you don't know how much I identify with that. So thank you. But I want to teach here on spiritual gifts, and at that point, I want us all to come away knowing that, breathing it really deep down in our hearts. In 1 Corinthians 12, and starting in verse 4, it says, "Now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. There are different activities, but the same God works all of them in each person. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a message of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the performing of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as he wills." Let's open in a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word. And we echo the song we just sang. Speak, O Lord. Father, I ask that it would be your Holy Spirit teaching us this morning, and not me, but your Holy Spirit would speak through me, and that we would learn from what your Holy Spirit has to teach us in your word, that we can love and serve one another. Father, I ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. In John chapter 17, I've mentioned this several times, and I want to mention it one more time. In the book of John, I'm not one more time. Won't be the first time, won't be the last. Okay? The Lord Jesus has a really cool teaching on the Trinity, and he says, greater things you will do than I have done. He tells his disciples that. And actually, if you look at church history, you can see the evidence of that. Yes, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, but if you look back to the first century and what the early Christian church was able to accomplish in spreading and growing out of nothing, and there's all these congregations in Europe, Asia, and Africa, and it just exploded. And they did great things. The Lord Jesus was in this little sliver of land from about Traverse City down to Niles, Michigan, and from about Grand Haven over to Grand Ledge. And that was his ministry area. If you were to say for yourself, you say, oh, okay, that would be a big impact area. But look at what his disciples did. They went over the entire known world. So they accomplished a lot. And this is what he said to them. He said, it is to your advantage that I go away, so that I can send the Holy Spirit. What his point was is, think, if any of you have ever had this thought, man, I wish I would have been able to be a disciple and to walk with Jesus. Has anyone ever thought that? Raise your hand if you thought that. Look, just about every single one of us. Here's what Jesus is saying. You are better off than the disciples that walked with Jesus. That's what he's saying. That's what that teaching means. It is to your advantage that I go and I send the Holy Spirit. And so we get to John chapter 17. And this is just immediately after Jesus teaches his disciples this. And this is what he prays. He says, eternal life is to know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So right there, you have the teaching of the Trinity. The teaching of the Trinity is that there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that have dwelt together in unity for all eternity. And Jesus says, eternal life, we think that eternal life begins when we die. That's what we think. That's commonly what, you know, we think, but... But if we read Scripture and really pay attention, the Lord Jesus says, I have come that you might have life more abundant. And then here in John chapter 17, he says, eternal life is to know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Which means eternal life doesn't start when you die. Eternal life starts the moment you meet God through Jesus, and the Holy Spirit enters your life. Which means, if you know God through Jesus and the Holy Spirit is living inside you, you have eternal life right now. You don't have to wait to find out when you're dead. You can have it right now, which is a beautiful teaching. But then Jesus goes on through John 17, and then he teaches something even more amazing. He says, Jesus is praying to God, and he says, God, I desire that the people that follow me can have the same unity and love that you and I have. So what is he saying there? He's saying, just like the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and God the Son have existed for all eternity in a loving community, my people can exist in a loving community for all eternity. So the teaching we're going to get to right now is wrapped up in this Trinity idea, and we can have unity together just like God has in the Trinity. We can be united with God, have the Holy Spirit living within us, and we can have that same unity. And so in this teaching here, it teaches about the differences of gifts. There are a bunch of different roles, right? There's a bunch of different roles, but it's just one body. It's united by the Holy Spirit. In verse 12 it says, "For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body through many are one body, so also is Christ. For we were baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink." This is an important point, and every time Scripture does this, I'm going to point it out, and we're not going to gloss over it. It keeps saying this. Scripture keeps telling us this. Diversity in the body. Jews or Greeks. There's no ranking system. In the first century Roman world, there was a ranking system, okay, based on your ethnicity. You could be one of the good ethnicities, or you could be one of the bad ethnicities, right? And then there were ranking systems based on your wealth. You could be a slave, you don't have citizenship, you're treated like property, or you could be a slave owner, and you're wealthy, and you're powerful. And just, you know what, I'd just like to step away from this and say, you know, thank God we don't have classes and we don't have racism in America. Right? So why point that out then, right, in 2025? Because it's still, the world is still the same way, right? Are you a professional, right? Do you have one of the professional jobs? Are you college educated? You know, do you have two stalls in your garage? Right? And there's all sorts of ranking systems in society. And racial ranking. Are you Hispanic or are you white? Are you black or are you Asian? But in the church, it's not that you're identity disappears. It's not that you cease to be a humble craftsman or cease to be a professional in your work. That doesn't change. When I showed up to church every Sunday, over 17 years of being a roofer, I didn't stop being a roofer when I walked through the building, right? My wife doesn't stop being black when she walks into the building, right? Those are still, but that's still part of who she is. But the ranking system disappears. There's no more ranking.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God, right? Once we walk outside of this building, it's that way the rest of the world. But Christianity in the congregation of believers, and when we go out and interact in the world, we don't treat people as if they're ranked, right? We don't treat them as if there's classes, and we love all people. And in this building, when we're fellowshipping and worshiping, we know that we have unity in the body of Christ, and we all equally partake of God's grace and salvation, right? Praise God for that. If the foot should say, in verse 15, if the foot should say, "Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body," I'm going to start from the very beginning of this sentence. Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. It is not for that reason any less a part of the body. This is a type of pride we call, you know, an inferiority complex. And this is what this looks like. Someone says, that person over there they do something for the church that I don't do. And I really like what they do. And I don't really like what I do. I wish that I was like them. Has anyone ever felt this before? I've felt this before, right? That doesn't stop you from being a part of the body, right? Some people want to, because they don't have that other gift, they want to disappear. No, you're still in it, and you still have a body part and a role, and it matters. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And this is the Apostle Paul here. He gets very comical. At times he gets comical, and we just see the ink on the page, and we don't quite recognize that he is, in fact, being pretty funny. So, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? I'm gonna pull out a chalkboard here. And I'm going to illustrate this. When I was a little kid, there was a little TV show, and in a large portion of the church, we rejected this one show called Pokemon. But there was a kind of a backup Pokemon that parents might not have known about, and church leaders might not have known about. And so that one gained a little bit of favor and popularity. It was called Digimon. I know, really creative. So, got the Ten Commandments here from last week. And there was a great little character in it. You're still going to be able to see this, so. This is what the character looked like. Yeah. Okay, can people see that? That's what Paul's talking about. It'd be gross. A giant 200-pound eyeball? With feet and no feet and legs. That's what he's talking about. Or a 200-pound tongue. Or a 200-pound ear. So that's how I say Paul's being comical. This is a joke he's making here. It can't work that way. So you might look at somebody else and be like, man, I really wish that I had that gift. Right? Well, that's what you're wishing for. That's silly. Each member of the body has a unique and important role. And every single one works in connection and conjunction with the other parts of the body. And they're all necessary. And we'll see later that when one part is missing, it affects everything negatively, the rest. Turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's where we'll be at today. I'm going to try and not steal thunder from Carl, who is going to, he's teaching through 1 Corinthians in the Wednesday morning, or Wednesday evening simple supper Bible studies. And we had the installation service on Wednesday, and it was a great time. Thank you all for your love and support. And it got me really, really thinking. I thought, you know, I'm going to scrap the what I was planning to go through. And I thought, let's jump into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because it deals with something that was really heavy on my heart that evening. And so I have a little quotation from a scholar at Calvin College. And I never took any of his classes. His name is Jamie Smith, but he has a similar theological background to me and Carl. And he said something really poignant about scholarship, and it got me thinking about my role here. And he said this. He said, "Being a scholar means developing expertise in a particular field. But that certainly doesn't mean that we know everything. We just act like that. The fact is, there is wisdom in our congregations which we might never possess. Let me give you just one example. Well, I might have arcane knowledge of French philosophy. He's a philosopher, so he's really nerds out on some arcane knowledge, is exactly right. That certainly doesn't make me an expert father. In fact, in my congregation will be assembly line workers who've never attended college, but in fact have deep wells of wisdom about parenting. If I want to make myself available to teach my brothers and sisters, I also have to be teachable. I need to sincerely trust and believe that the Spirit has distributed gifts throughout the body, and that I'll be a student more than I'm a teacher. And, boy, you don't know how much I identify with that. So thank you, but I want to teach here on spiritual gifts, and at that point, I want us all to come away knowing that, breathing it really deep down in our hearts. In 1 Corinthians 12, and starting in verse 4, it says, "Now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God works all of them in each person. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a message of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the performing of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as he wills." Let's open in a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word. And we echo the song we just sang. Speak, O Lord. Father, I ask that it would be your Holy Spirit teaching us this morning, and not me, but your Holy Spirit would speak through me, and that we would learn from what your Holy Spirit has to teach us in your word, that we can love and serve one another. Father, I ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. In John chapter 17, I've mentioned this several times, and I want to mention it one more time. In the book of John, not one more time. Won't be the first time, won't be the last. Okay, the Lord Jesus has a really cool teaching on the Trinity, and he says, "Greater things you will do than I have done." He tells his disciples that. And actually, if you look at church history, you can see the evidence of that. Yes, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, but if you look back to the first century and what the early Christian church was able to accomplish in spreading and growing out of nothing, and there's all these congregations in Europe, Asia, and Africa, and it just exploded. And they did great things. The Lord Jesus was in this little sliver of land from about Traverse City down to Niles, Michigan, and from about Grand Haven over to Grand Ledge. And that was his ministry area. If you were to say for yourself, you say, oh, okay, that would be a big impact area. But look at what his disciples did. They went over the entire known world. So they accomplished a lot. And this is what he said to them. He said, "It is to your advantage that I go away, so that I can send the Holy Spirit." What his point was is, think, if any of you have ever had this thought, man, I wish I would have been able to be a disciple and to walk with Jesus. Has anyone ever thought that? Raise your hand if you thought that. Look, just about every single one of us. Here's what Jesus is saying. You are better off than the disciples that walked with Jesus. That's what he's saying. That's what that teaching means. It is to your advantage that I go and I send the Holy Spirit. And so we get to John chapter 17, and this is just immediately after Jesus teaches his disciples this, and this is what he prays. He says, "Eternal life is to know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So right there, you have the teaching of the Trinity. The teaching of the Trinity is that there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that have dwelt together in unity for all eternity. And Jesus says, eternal life, we think that eternal life begins when we die. That's what we think. That's commonly what, you know, we think. But if we read Scripture and really pay attention, the Lord Jesus says, I have come that you might have life more abundant. And then here in John chapter 17, he says, eternal life is to know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Which means eternal life doesn't start when you die. Eternal life starts the moment you meet God through Jesus and the Holy Spirit enters your life. Which means, if you know God through Jesus and the Holy Spirit is living inside you, you have eternal life right now. You don't have to wait to find out when you're dead. You can have it right now, which is a beautiful teaching. But then Jesus goes on through John 17, and then he teaches something even more amazing. He says, Jesus is praying to God, and he says, God, I desire that the people that follow me can have the same unity and love that you and I have. So what is he saying there? He's saying, just like the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and God the Son have existed for all eternity in a loving community, my people can exist in a loving community for all eternity. So the teaching we're going to get to right now is wrapped up in this Trinity idea, and we can have unity together just like God has in the Trinity. We can be united with God, have the Holy Spirit living within us, and we can have that same unity. And so in this teaching here, it teaches about the differences of gifts. There are a bunch of different roles, right? There's a bunch of different roles, but it's just one body. It's united by the Holy Spirit. In verse 12, it says, "For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body through many are one body, so also is Christ. For we were baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink." This is an important point, and every time Scripture does this, I'm going to point it out, and we're not going to gloss over it. It keeps saying this. Scripture keeps telling us this. Diversity in the body, Jews or Greeks. There's no ranking system. In the first century Roman world, there was a ranking system.